Good morning, Lakeberian. It's good to be with everybody again today. And on this Sunday morning, we have a very special guest with us. But she's not a stranger. The Reverend Shannon Smythe is with us this morning. Hello, Shannon.
Hey, friends. Thanks for having me.
We have been waiting and trying to make this happen. And so, with Pastor Lena and Pastor Paul and myself, and now Pastor Shannon, it feels like we're home again.
I know, I've been so looking forward to it.
Well, as you know, church, you are welcome to join the chat. Send Shannon and the family greetings in the chat as if you desire. And for those of you who don't know, Shannon is pastoring in Delaware now.
But I'm coming for a visit, so I'll see you all in the flesh. Yay.
Awesome. Well, today, as we're going to continue our walk through the book of Acts, and today we'll be talking from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. And as it has already been read, I just want to quickly kind of reiterate how wonderful it's been. And I know some of you have also said this, it's been wonderful to walk through the book of Acts. It's been great to hear the multiple voices on the book of Acts, these first few chapters. And these are very obviously historic texts in terms of the birth of the church. And now we're at the place where the crowd has gathered. They're deeply troubled. And Peter, because of Peter's powerful sermon, and the question comes to the forefront, what should we do? And Peter gives his reply. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what that reply was and what it means for us, as well as maybe even what are some of the conflicts that we experience with this text? What's problematic about our experience with this text? So, Pastor Lena, what should we do? Is
Yeah.
their question.
What should we do? I think as we were talking before we actually started recording the call, we were going back a few verses to when the disciples were speaking in different languages and the crowd was like, "What is going on?" Right? And so the question that came up, if I'm sure people will remember, is like, "So what does this mean that this has happened?" And then, as you said, Peter preaches that kind of this is what this means. And now they're standing there. Okay, so now that we know what you said it means, what should we do? And I think that we are, I think for Lakeberian, I think this is a very poignant question because I feel like I hear this question. I hear that question that has surfaced many times over the last 5 or 6 years is like, so we've heard about the incarnation, we've heard about justice. But now, what should we do with all that we know? And so there is an invitation. It's not even a, it is a natural kind of response to go, what should we do? And I think the good news is that there is something for us to do, and the Holy Spirit is filling us to be able to do the thing that we should do, right? It's more than reading a book. It's more than having conversations. There is something. And so I guess we can talk more about this, but I think Peter begins to point to some basic things about our faith, our practices. Repent, and then in your baptism, be made new. So there are a few things that we can get more about, but I think that I'm trying to hold back a little bit so that we can breathe in the conversation. I'm liking the what should we do?
I like the question. I like that the NRSV says they're cut to the heart. So like something's going on, like they're having some kind of an embodied response to what, Peter has explained to them. And so how wonderful. It's almost like this altar call. So what should we do? And then there's like real legitimate embodied things that they're told to do that actually like wind them further into, or maybe for the first time, into the life of Jesus of Nazareth, right? That disruptive, shocking, from crucifixion and death to life, to go into that, be baptized into Jesus's life. I mean, if that's the instruction, if that's the response to what we should do, like, I don't know, like being a Christian my whole life, I mean, you kind of let it fly past
you. Just fly past you. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of intense that's where Peter pushes it to, like, the Spirit's baptizing you into the body of this Jesus of Nazareth. Like,
And the scene should be set, Paul, where, like, and we don't do this today because we don't stand outside and listen to someone talk. And if we were to do this today, the question would be what you should do as an individual, right? But this is a community that is asking this question, what should we do, right? That presents a little different context to the question. It's not a just I, but it's a community question. If this is true, if it really means this, then it has implications for us.
And I like the way that Shannon brought it up, that this is an embodied experience. So the question's genuine. And to your point, Dali, it's not an I question, it's a we question. I think the conflict that presents itself for me is that we often talk about glossing over these things, is that I'll just put myself out there, but I think maybe some of us can relate. We read these passages as those folk. So those folks should repent. Those folks should get baptized. So it's really a reading of the I, or maybe it's not even I, it's them. So when the conflict in this passage of what should we do, we extricate ourselves from that position or that question, because we feel like we're part of the in. We've already made it. We're playing the game. We're Christian. We're part of the Jesus way. So we don't have to ask that question no more. That's the conflict for me. And I think what Lake B is trying to do, however, is to read ourselves into this. And that's what I appreciate about our, first of all, our question, our discussion, but also the ministry that we're doing.
Yeah.
So the question, I guess, is what should we do? I mean, even for those of us who've been around for a bit, how are we part of the new disruptive thing that the Holy Spirit, as it were, wants us to do as we embody, connect to the embodiment of God in Jesus Christ?
Every time you guys say disrupt, I'm like, stop talking. you know, I think oftentimes we say in our, churchy language, remember your baptism.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And if this is the baptism that we're supposed to remember, this is the baptism of what Shannon was describing, being, pulled into the life and death and resurrection now of Christ, and then to live in such a way that there's change. That's remember your baptism. That's what we were baptized into, is this constant newness, right? Of the idea of the notion of, recovery of the message, the life and the work of God and Christ on the earth. That's the baptism that we remember. And sometimes I, when I'm doing this is such a good conversation, because when we do baptism, it is individual, but it's not in the sense that the community participates every time, because we remember together our story, right? But we don't tell the story very well. So I get pretty excited about what we're talking about, because I think we're continuing to remind ourselves that this is an us story.
Paul, because this is, and I love if each of you could share to what Paul was just noting, because I think there is a conflict here that's troubling from the standpoint that Christianity can take on this persona of this is a message to others, right? Yeah. You all need this, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to a constant refrain that we have to remember ourselves mm-hmm. to be baptized, to repent and be baptized. And it's not just like the baptism part only, because it's baptism in the character and the persona of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. right? So Peter goes back and says, remember the person who healed the lame man that you said it was Christ. It was the resurrected Christ. Now he's going further and saying, now you should be baptized in this person who this person who's been resurrected, who no longer lives here, who's no longer embodied. You ought to be immersed in his personality and character and power. Uh-oh. Right? Because aren't these some of the same people who are all right? They feel they're all right. They're okay. They're fine. They're good Jews.
Yeah, I mean, I Jennings like drove this home for me in such a powerful way. Like, I can't get out of my head. He says, for those who think they have God in sight, like, that's who this message is for. So hello, ordained minister in the PCUSA, like, hello, church going folk. We think we've got faith figured out. And here comes Peter. Nope, it's going to be altered and it's going to be intensified. I'm ready to just kind of like pat the little nice Presbyterian theology and polity on its head and say, I think we should do some baptisms into Jesus because we need a little bit of ritual maybe to wake us up into what God is calling us into, which is really intense, like incarnate yourself, God's joining to you and you to God. And so then you to all those that get drawn in, everyone, like it blows it wide open.
It blows it wide open, right? And that in that way, there is a call then that comes to all of us to the abundance of God. For me, this is what kind of catches, especially if you come from, say, poverty. If you come from communities that have really struggled, if your parents didn't have enough growing up, and you know you would go to the ice cream shop, and my dad would say, "You can have any one of the ice creams you want, as long as it's vanilla, right? You can have as many scoops as you want, as long as it's one." And and yeah. In this moment, we're called into an abundance where Peter says, this promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, mm-hmm. right? Not for me and my crew, but this abundance is for everyone, even those far away. Wow.
Yeah.
We skipped over that part. Mm-hmm. Like when we were kids, we didn't read that part of the scripture. It was like, oh, we stopped at receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're powerful people. Mm-hmm. But then that next one is this promise is for you, your children, all who are far away. Mm-hmm. Ouch.
I mean, he's saying some like really hard things that I think we should hear, right? Like save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Right. Mm-hmm. So immediately this idea that this is for all, that the promise is for all. And right now in the way that we live is we're living in this lie that that everything is already good. Right. Those of us, quote unquote, that say that we're in. Mm-hmm. Right. He's saying, I think what this is saying to me is that if you're not careful, you are actually living in corruption.
Mm-hmm. That's your baptism. You're living that in those waters.
Janice said that.
I mean, it's like, are we splashing around in the waters of like, you know, selectivity and cliques and the in-groups and those who have and keep it clean and comfortable, or are we splashing around in Jesus's waters? And Jesus went and broke all the boundaries, mm-hmm. and then the spirit of Jesus gets poured out so we can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, the corruption is truncating the abundance, to use Tally's word, the abundance of God, to selection or restriction or scarcity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the corruption of the image of God. that we should see in other folk. Mm-hmm. And we read passages like, even those who are far away, sometimes as someone with East Asian heritage who in a country that has received missionaries from the West, as it were, you know, sometimes it could look colonial. We could read with colonial lenses. Yeah, even those folk far away, rather than talking about them as part of the part of the abundance of God, it's something, again, we do to people, and we read ourselves, we center ourselves in the middle so that those people become far, rather than reading that God is already in those far off places. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to go there too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, because the promise came to those who are also far away. So if you go far away, they also have the promise.
That's right.
Right, so here we go carrying the good news to them as if God has yet to show up there.
Yeah.
When the promise is already to them. Mm-hmm. Ow, I mean, that of course rewrites 500 years of history, of mission history, right? That we should have never been able to engage in that kind of ministry, that kind of colonial ministry. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, then the church sets up in many ways, right, Pastor Lena, like very much like that.
Yeah, like, for the promises for you, for your children, and for all the promise. Yeah, the promise. We're not taking the promise with us. Yeah. We're not taking the promise with us and delivering it to people, which is what we've done. The promise is already there. The promise of the move of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of how I'm reading it. It changes everything, because now you look at people not as those who are deficit and in need, but you look at people and communities as folks who already have, you know, the image of God, bearing the image of God.
So, and this is though what Paul, what you do with that restriction of God's image, what you noted there, Shannon, I remember many a conversations with you down through the years on what that restricted image looks like, how it gets lived out, how it gets operationalized, how it shows up, not just in church, but how it shows up in the way we live as in community with this kind of who's in, who's out, one, who belongs, who doesn't, two, what identities are valid and legitimate and which ones are not, right? As if we can then move from this abundance to this restricted notion of what it means to be secular, right? Yeah. This very restricted, narrow. What, say more about that.
For me, I feel like I'm learning it all over again constantly. You know, who gets to be the arbitrator, right? Who gets to decide who's on the pedestal that makes themselves the premium, the center from which everything else gets worked out? I mean, isn't that what the corruption that the God who interrupts and joins is saving us all from, right? Mm-hmm. That there is no, all of those boundaries are all fabricated off of a lie, off of corruption. And so what's God doing instead? This infinite God of love, always giving God's self away, inviting us in, to give ourselves away, to receive the giving away of others. And all of a sudden, like something new, something of the Spirit happens. And we're all wondering, what does this mean? And maybe we have to ask again the next morning, so what should I do?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Wow.
Because it's not ever finished, right? Doesn't it go ever on and then ever deeper? I don't know if that's what you were asking for, Tommy.
Yes, 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 because the people listening in the crowd, Pastor Lena, they're sitting there, and these are people who knew the restrictions that were put on what it meant to be holy. They knew that they had to come in a particular gown and garb, and they knew there were those who could and could not enter into the presence of God, right? They knew that the laws that were abundant upon them, there are many laws weighing them down that made it hard to, as Jesus says, you made it hard, like getting That like needling through the kind of the eye of the needle, right? The getting a camel through the eye of the needle, Jesus says as an example. And here's Peter saying, oh, wait a minute, the promise is to everyone, right? There's this radical shift. And oftentimes we gloss over it because we're so enculturated to something else. But coming from the legalism that they were coming from, Peter's message of what the good news is a radical shift to abundance.
Yeah. Jennings and this section starts out by saying, change is taking place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm just hoping, like hoping that we actually hear this, you know, that everything that God needed to do, God did. Right. In making available change. And so the what should we do question really is about our partnership and our response to, you know, disrupting, to kind of, you know, recognizing the corruption that is our, you know, really the antithesis of the reign of God, right? And so I think there's so much in here that's such great news. I don't know if Shannon, you were going there with this earlier, but I was like, do we need to just everybody, let's get baptized again.
Yeah, I was going there.
Which totally goes against, you know, you don't need to be baptized twice, but there's a part of me that goes, we need to repent, actually.
I mean, who said that though? Who said that? I mean, let's talk about the received theology and where it comes from and who gave it and who said it. I don't know. Come on.
Preach. Because it does give us this perspective, right, Paul, that we have made it and we're in and we can, and we're good. Yeah. We're good, right? This is not, I think it was you, Paul, who talked about this a few weeks ago, that the, it was Pastor Kelly who talked about the Christian calendar is smart, because it keeps us coming back to this place. Yeah. Say more, Paul, about that specialness that we have to be able to come back to this place of repentance. And it's not a bad thing. It's a great invitation.
Yeah. That's an invitation, but I think that's grace. I mean, that's really the practice of grace lived out, that we can come back to this and say, oh yeah, I can ask this question again. It's not one and done, but it's a constant re-upping the question for our lives. What now? What does this mean? And what should we do? Mm-hmm. And if we understand and we continue to claim these things of faith, then what we should do should reflect that. I think Willie Jennings says, you know, this passage isn't about formula, but formation. And it's pointing us to formation as a people of God. Yes. Because it's not like the formula. We've engineered the church.
Yes.
And so we have a formula for it.
That's right.
That's and we've true. Done away with the formation aspect of what God is doing in us. Oh, and so We get things like, you know, so we live out faith without grace, without redemption, without all the things that we pin our whole faith on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, Jesus resurrected, but that's it. Same. Then what does that mean for us, and what should we do because of his resurrection?
Mm-hmm. We've formulated it. We've made it formulaic when it's formation. Mm-hmm. Again and again and again. Who's still far off? Who still needs to repent? Who still wants another baptism? Oh yeah, and let's have some fellowship and some prayers and go back to the teachings again and again, not as a formula, as formation into this new thing.
So I get scared at Peter's word, save yourself from this corrupt generation. I'm like, oh crap, people don't all leave the church now.
You know, oh, good.
Because what he's speaking to is us, that we're the corrupt generation. And I'll put myself right in there. And so unless we can figure this out, we can experience the decline, so to speak, of the church.
Mm. And can I'm just gonna quickly say that, Lena, Pastor Lena, when we when we've been talking about the decline of the Presbyterian Church, for example, right? This kind of conversation comes up, right? Because we have the formula, and now we're seeing empty buildings, pastors leaving. What should we do? Right? And I'm asking that as a community. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What should we do?
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of just say, I feel like my heart is beating really fast. because I think to Lake Burien, this is the most important thing that you can hear today, that yeah. formation and discipleship and knowing the life of Christ and the way that Jesus lived and died and was resurrected, and then the receiving of the power of the Holy Spirit, like receiving it, taking and owning this power so that we can live the gospel fully alive, which is what we always say around here, right? But I think Talia and I were having a conversation earlier in the week, and I'm thinking, you know, when we say things like, when we come back out of being, you know, in quarantine and are coming back, you know, I pray to God that that there's been reflection, repentance on the ways that we think, so that we can be new and different. Like, we don't come back the same in two formula. And I don't think that I would safely say that we haven't been uber formulaic around here, but it's easy to fall into that.
It is.
And so, gosh, for our, you know, everyone that's, you know, listening, I hope what we're all picking up is that this is a call to discipleship, faithful discipleship. And, you know, like yeah. Paul said, renewing, I don't know what you said, that kind of, not formula, but form,
being formation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, being formed. Yep. Yeah, well, I knew this conversation would inspire me and challenge me. And I believe it's challenged many of you listening today. And I think we're praying and we're believing God for us to be able to step into this space of question, what should we do? Being formed by it, right? So Shannon, we are praying for you as well. And your family, thank you for joining us today. We miss you. We still love you.
Oh, thank you. We love you and talk about you all in our household all the time. It's unreal. Okay.
So as we bring this to a close, Pastor Lena, closing words for us today.
I think I gave my closing words. You know, I just continue to pray for this small little slice of the church, right? We do our part and to live as faithfully as possible in community, you know, and so amen. I'm grateful. And Shannon, thank you so much for, you know, your friendship to all of us. We talk enough to know that, you know, I know that you pray for us and think about us, and we love you, as Tally said. And so I actually would like to pray, for you, Shannon. So let me do that.
Thank you.
Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift of friendship that our ministry, many people in our ministry have with Shannon. Thank you for the ways that you used she and Micah and Kevin with us. And we just pray continually over their ministry. And that you would give them wisdom and guidance in all that they do, help them to trust and know your Spirit's leading, and that they would also, God, be used by you in great ways in the lives of the people that you have called them to be with. Again, Lord, we thank you for her friendship, and we give them to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.